Welcome back, everybody. We're diving deep today into, the impacts of these political changes that have been happening.
It's certainly been a turbulent time.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got a whole stack of news articles here from February 24th, 2025. So pretty recent stuff.
Yeah, looking forward to digging into these.
Me too. And today's focus is really going to be on like the fallout, you know, how these changes could actually affect you.
The real-world implications.
Exactly. And I think you might be surprised by some of this, even if you've been keeping up with the news. So are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, so first up, it seems like Republican voters are starting to feel some of the negative effects of Trump and Musk's policies.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, specifically, it's that whole government downsizing thing. Remember how Musk promised to make the government leaner and more efficient?
Right, using AI and automation and all that.
Yeah, well, it turns out that a lot of those cuts are actually leading to job losses. And now people are not so happy about it.
I guess it's one thing to agree with downsizing in theory, but when it's your job on the line, it's a whole different story.
Exactly. And the articles mentioned town hall meetings turning into shouting matches. Representatives are facing some seriously angry constituents.
Yeah, that makes sense. People are worried about their livelihoods, their families. It's a natural reaction.
Absolutely. And some of the stories in these articles are pretty heartbreaking. Like there's one about Anna Foy, who spent 6 years preparing for her job at the Bureau of Land Management, only to be let go.
6 years, that's rough.
I know, right? She was so excited to finally start her career, and now she's back to square one, all because of Musk's push for AI-driven efficiency.
I can see how that would create a lot of resentment and disillusionment among Republican voters.
Yeah, and you can bet that the Democrats are paying attention to all of this. They'll likely try to use this growing discontent to their advantage.
Especially in those swing districts that could go either way.
Exactly. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. It's a reminder that politics isn't just some abstract game. It has real-world consequences for real people.
Couldn't agree more.
So speaking of changing tides, it looks like Trump's approval ratings are starting to slip, and not just among Democrats.
Huh. Interesting. So even some of his supporters are starting to have second thoughts.
It seems that way. The articles mentioned that his approval ratings are particularly low among non-Republicans.
Well, that could spell trouble for him and the Republicans, especially as we head into the midterms.
Right, those Republicans in tight races are going to have to work extra hard to hold onto their seats. They can't just rely on the base anymore.
Especially in those districts where they need votes from both sides of the aisle.
Exactly. Now, this next story really caught my eye. Musk is proposing to lay off 50,000 civilian employees in the Department of Defense.
Wow, 50,000. That's a huge number.
Yeah, it's a pretty drastic move, especially considering that the military is usually considered off-limits for that kind of downsizing.
Yeah, it's almost like sacred ground. You don't mess with the military.
Right. But Musk seems to think that even the DoD can benefit from some streamlining and automation.
I wonder how that's going to go over with the military brass and the veterans groups.
Well, the American Federation of Government Employees is definitely not happy. One article quotes them calling it a slap in the face to veterans and military families everywhere.
That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah, and they say will not soon be forgotten. So this could definitely come back to bite Musk and the Republicans later on.
It's a risky move for sure.
And here's another layer of irony. The DoD is also cutting funding for climate change initiatives.
What? Why would they do that?
Well, they're calling it unnecessary spending. But the reality is that climate change is a very real threat to national security.
Oh, I see. You're talking about the potential for resource scarcity, mass migrations, conflicts over water and arable land.
Exactly. Those are all factors that can destabilize entire regions and lead to war, which obviously has a direct impact on national security.
So it's a bit short-sighted to cut funding for something that could eventually lead to bigger problems down the road.
That's one way to put it. It's like ignoring a small leak in your roof because you don't see a puddle yet.
Perfect analogy.
All right, let's shift gears a bit and look at what's happening on the international stage. Trump's position on Ukraine has been, shall we say, a bit confusing.
A bit. I'd say more than a bit.
Yeah, true. He seems to flip-flop between supporting Ukraine's independence and being open to letting Russia absorb it.
Possibly to get his hands on those valuable resources like rare earth minerals.
Right, which are crucial for all sorts of high-tech stuff like electric car motors and wind turbines.
It's making things very difficult for U.S. allies who are trying to figure out where the U.S. stands on this issue.
Yeah, it's creating a lot of uncertainty and distrust.
And it's deviating from the way the U.S. has traditionally handled foreign policy.
Right, there are two main approaches. You've got the ideology-based support, where you back countries that share your values. And then there's the spheres of influence approach, where powerful nations basically dictate policy to their neighbors.
And Trump seems to be wavering between these two, which is causing confusion among allies and adversaries alike.
Exactly. It's like he's playing some kind of high-stakes game of political poker.
And the stakes couldn't be higher with Ukraine caught in the middle.
It's a dangerous game, for sure.
Absolutely. And it's creating a rift within the Republican Party itself.
How so?
Well, you've got the MAGA faction, who are happy to appease Russia, and then you've got those who remember the Cold War and see Russia as a continued threat.
So it's a real clash of ideologies within the party.
Exactly. And it's playing out in public, too. There was that G7 meeting commemorating the third anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the U.S. refused to join the other nations in condemning Russian aggression.
Really?
Yeah, and now Trump is echoing Putin's claims that Ukraine was the aggressor.
Wow, that's a pretty big deal.
It is, and it's causing a lot of people to wonder what's really going on behind the scenes. Is Trump truly pro-Russia, or is this all part of some elaborate negotiating tactic?
It's hard to tell with him. He's definitely a master of keeping people guessing.
That's for sure, and it's creating a lot of anxiety and uncertainty on the world stage.
So for our listeners who might be thinking, okay, that's all interesting, but how does this affect me? How could this situation in Ukraine actually hit their wallets?
Well, the outcome of this whole thing could have a direct impact on the availability and cost of everyday products that rely on those rare earth minerals we talked about earlier.
So we're talking about things like smartphones, computers, electric vehicles.
Exactly. Those prices could go up if Russia ends up controlling Ukraine's mineral wealth.
So from political turmoil to potential economic ripples, it seems like no sector is immune to these global shifts.
That's one of the key takeaways from all of this. We're living in an interconnected world, and what happens in one part of the world can definitely have an impact on us here at home.
Definitely. And speaking of economic impacts, let's talk about what's happening with the U.S. auto industry.
What now?
Well, it seems like they're facing some serious headwinds, thanks in part to Trump's trade policies.
Right, those tariffs he imposed on steel, aluminum, and imports from Mexico and Canada.
Exactly. Those tariffs are driving up costs for U.S. automakers and disrupting those finely tuned supply chains that have been built up over decades.
Yeah, it takes time and a lot of effort to build up those relationships with suppliers and to make sure everything runs smoothly.
And now those tariffs are throwing a wrench into the works.
So what are the automakers doing about it?
Well, they're trying to find new suppliers, but it's not easy to find ones that can meet the same quality and delivery standards.
And then there's the added complication of tariffs on parts that may cross borders multiple times during assembly.
Yeah, it's a logistical nightmare.
So what's the end result of all of this?
Well, it looks like U.S. consumers could end up paying more for cars and trucks.
And there could also be job losses in the auto industry if production slows down.
It's a bit of a lose-lose situation.
So much for those tariffs protecting American jobs.
All right, let's move on to another area that's been in the news a lot lately. The fight over diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI as it's often called.
Ah, yes, that's been a hot topic.
It has. And Trump has been actively trying to dismantle DEI initiatives. But ironically, demographic trends might actually be a more powerful force in shaping workforce diversity over the long term.
How so?
Well, the percentage of young white people in the overall population is declining, while the number of non-white individuals is steadily increasing.
So it's a natural progression that will inevitably lead to a more diverse workforce, regardless of any specific DEI programs.
Exactly. And companies that want to remain competitive will have to adapt to this new reality.
Makes sense.
And this whole conversation about DEI brings up an interesting question. Are we oversimplifying things by lumping everyone who's not white into this category of people of color?
That's a great point. It's important to remember that there's a lot of diversity within those groups.
Yeah, people's political views and priorities are shaped by a whole range of factors. It's not just about race or ethnicity.
Right. And recent data actually shows that college-educated Black and Latino voters are increasingly aligning themselves with college-educated white voters.
So education and income might be becoming stronger predictors of voting behavior than race or ethnicity.
It's something for the Democrats to think about. They've been really focused on appealing to people of color as a monolithic block, but that approach might be backfiring.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that people are complex and their political views are shaped by a whole range of factors.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's turn our attention back to the political arena. It looks like Andrew Cuomo, the former governor of New York, might be eyeing a comeback.
Really? I thought he was done with politics after those sexual harassment allegations.
Well, it seems like he might be looking for redemption, or at least a return to the spotlight.
And how's he planning to do that?
Well, there are reports that he's considering a run for mayor of New York City.
Mayor? That's a big step down from governor.
It is. But the New York City mayoral race, with its ranked choice voting system, could be his ticket back in.
Ranked choice voting. Can you explain how that works?
Sure. So basically, voters rank their preferred candidates in order of preference. And if no candidate receives a majority of first place votes, the candidate with the fewest votes is eliminated, and their votes are redistributed to the voted second choices.
And this process continues until one candidate reaches a majority.
Exactly. It's a bit complicated, but it's designed to give voters more choices and ensure that the winner has broader support.
I see. So how could this benefit Cuomo?
Well, he's a well-known figure, so he might be able to garner enough first-place votes to stay in the running, even if he isn't everyone's top choice.
And what kind of campaign do you think he would run?
He could potentially position himself as the ultimate anti-Trump candidate, appealing to New Yorkers who are looking for a strong voice against the current administration.
That could definitely resonate with a lot of voters in New York City.
And Cuomo also has some other advantages. He has strong ties to labor unions, and he's built relationships with Black and Jewish communities during his time as governor.
So he has the experience, the name recognition, and a potential base of support. But will it be enough to overcome those sexual harassment allegations?
That's the big question. It's going to be a fascinating race to watch, for sure.
It sounds like it.
Speaking of fascinating races, let's talk about what's happening with Eric Adams.
You mean his legal troubles?
Well, yes, but this is more about a clash of principles. Remember that whole saga with the interim U.S. Attorney Danielle Sassoon?
Oh, yeah. She remind rather than comply with an order to drop the charges against Adams in exchange for his cooperation with Trump's immigration policies.
Right. She argued that the request was an abuse of power and went against the public interest.
It's a pretty bold move.
It was. And now the judge in the case, Dale Ho, has to decide whether to grant that request to drop the charges.
I imagine he's feeling a lot of pressure from both sides.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. He's clearly aware of the political implications of his decision, but he also seems determined to ensure that justice is served.
It's a good reminder that we have a system of checks and balances for a reason.
Exactly. And the judiciary plays a vital role in upholding the rule of law, especially in times like these.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit and look at the global stage again. The recent election in Germany could have major implications for the relationship between Europe and the U.S.
What happened?
Well, it looks like Friedrich Merz, the conservative leader, is poised to become chancellor.
And how might that affect things?
Well, Merz has been openly critical of U.S. interference in German affairs. He's even compared U.S. meddling to that of Russia.
Wow, that's a pretty strong statement.
It is. He's basically saying that Germany is going to start prioritizing its own interests, even if that means disagreeing with the U.S.
Interesting. So we could be seeing a shift in the balance of power between the U.S. and Europe.
It's definitely a possibility.
This is all very intriguing. It seems like the world is becoming a much more complex and unpredictable place.
I agree. And that's why it's so important to stay informed and engaged, to try to understand how these global shifts could impact our lives here at home.
Absolutely.
Well, I hate to interrupt this fascinating conversation, but it looks like we're just about out of time for this deep dive.
Oh, bummer. I was just getting warmed up.
I know, me too. But don't worry, we'll continue this discussion in our next episode.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See ya. He's definitely got his own agenda, yeah. On some issues, he actually aligns more closely with Biden than Trump.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, he's a big advocate for European self-reliance, particularly when it comes to defense. And he's not a fan of China wants to reduce Germany's economic dependence on them.
So basically, a more independent and assertive Germany.
Pretty much, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the U.S. reacts to that.
Yeah. Do you think this shift in Germany's stance could have like a domino effect throughout Europe? You know, could we see other countries following suit?
It's definitely possible, especially if Germany, one of the most powerful members of the EU, starts to distance itself from the U.S.
Right. It's like they might start to see the U.S. as an unreliable partner and look for, you know, new alliances, new partnerships.
Exactly. And you could argue that the U.S. under the current administration is actually accelerating this whole process. I know Trump's America First approach has alienated a lot of traditional allies,
pushing them towards greater independence or even alignment with other global powers like China.
Right. It's a stark contrast to the post-World War II era when the U.S. was seen as like the leader of the free world, the guarantor of global stability.
Yeah, and now it seems like we're heading towards a more fragmented and multipolar world where power is more diffuse.
Exactly. Which brings us back to our listener. How will these global shifts affect their lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. It's hard to predict the exact consequences, but it's clear that we're entering a period of profound change on a global scale.
Yeah, the old certainties are crumbling and new ones have yet to solidify.
Right, and that creates both risks and opportunities. It's important for everyone to stay informed and engaged to try to understand how these shifts could impact their communities, their livelihoods, even their personal values.
It's about being prepared for a world that's becoming increasingly complex and unpredictable, where the old rules may no longer apply and new ones are still being written.
Well said. And that's what makes these deep dives so valuable. We need to understand the nuances, the interconnectedness, the potential unintended consequences of these global shifts if we want to navigate this new reality effectively.
Speaking of unintended consequences, there's another story we need to unpack. It involves Eric Adams again, but this time it's not about his personal legal battles. It's more about a clash of principles.
You're talking about Danielle Sassoon, the interim U.S. attorney who resigned rather than drop the charges against Adams in exchange for his cooperation with Trump's immigration crackdown.
Exactly. It's a fascinating case study in ethical decision-making and the importance of upholding the rule of law even when facing immense pressure.
It really is. And then there's Judge Dale Ho, who has to decide whether to dismiss the charges against Adams. He's in a tough spot.
Yeah, he's clearly aware of the political implications of his decision, but he also seems determined to ensure that justice is served regardless of those external pressures.
It really underscores the vital role of the judiciary, especially in times of political polarization and uncertainty.
Right. The courts can act as a check on executive power, safeguarding individual rights and upholding the principles of fairness and due process.
Absolutely. They provide a sense of stability and continuity, ensuring that the rule of law prevails, not just the whims of those in power.
Okay, shifting gears again, let's talk about something that might seem a bit technical, but has huge implications for the global balance of power, ASML. Remember that Dutch company that makes those incredibly specialized chip-making machines?
Oh yeah, ASML. They're basically the gatekeepers of advanced chip production, which is vital for everything from smartphones and computers to military hardware and artificial intelligence.
And depending on who they choose to sell those machines to, the balance of power could shift dramatically.
Exactly. It's mind-blowing to think that a single company based in the Netherlands could have such a profound impact on the global order.
It really highlights the fact that we're not just dealing with nation-states anymore. It's a complex web of corporations, technologies, and individuals all vying for influence on a global scale.
And this complexity is exactly why these deep dives are so crucial. We need to understand these nuances, these interconnections, and the potential unintended consequences if we want to make sense of this new global landscape.
Well, I hate to interrupt this fascinating conversation, but it looks like we're just about out of time for this deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it's a bummer, but before we wrap up, I wanted to circle back to something you said earlier about the shifting global landscape.
Sure thing. What was it?
You mentioned how the U.S. might be inadvertently accelerating that process with its current foreign policy. Can you kind of unpack that a bit more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when the U.S. prioritizes its own interests above all else, like we've seen with the whole America First approach, it creates a vacuum on the global stage.
A vacuum?
Yeah, like other countries start to question the reliability of the U.S. as a partner, right? And they begin to look for alternative alliances and arrangements.
So basically, they're like, if the U.S. isn't going to be a reliable partner, we need to look out for ourselves.
Exactly. And we're already seeing signs of this with Germany, for example.
Right, with their push for greater European self-reliance.
Right, and the potential for countries to start aligning themselves more closely with China.
So if countries like Germany start acting more independently or even start acting against U.S. interests, what kind of impact could that have? I mean, realistically.
Well, it could reshape global trade, for one thing.
How so?
Think about ASML again.
The Dutch chip-making company.
Yeah. If they decide to resume selling their advanced chip-making equipment to China despite U.S. objections...
Which they very well might.
Exactly. It could give China a significant boost in its technological capabilities, potentially shifting the balance of power in areas like artificial intelligence and supercomputing.
So basically, a Dutch company selling equipment to China could end up having a bigger impact on U.S. global influence than any direct political maneuver.
It's definitely a possibility. It highlights how complex and often unpredictable this new global landscape really is.
Power is becoming more diffuse.
Right. And it's not always held by nation states anymore. Corporations, technology, even individuals can wield significant influence in this interconnected world.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, what are like the key takeaways you'd want our listeners to really kind of chew on?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that we're living in a world of accelerating change, and the old assumptions and frameworks, they just may no longer apply.
Right. The global landscape is shifting. Power dynamics are evolving.
Exactly. And the decisions made by individuals, corporations, and governments are having ripple effects that are felt far and wide.
It's a lot to process.
It is, but it's also an exciting time to be alive.
How so?
Well, it's a time to re-examine our values, reassess our priorities, find new ways to engage with this rapidly changing world.
So what's the best way for people to stay ahead of the curve, in your opinion?
I'd say it's a combination of staying informed, engaging in critical thinking, and being open to new perspectives.
So not just accepting the narratives that are being presented to you?
Right. Dig deeper, ask questions, challenge assumptions.
And maybe embrace the uncertainty and see it as an opportunity to learn, grow, and make a difference in this evolving world.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that's it for our deep dive into the events of February 24, 2025. We've covered a lot of ground today, from local politics to global power shifts. And I think it's safe to say that the future is anything but predictable.
It definitely keeps us on our toes.
It does. So, to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We encourage you to keep exploring these topics, to keep those critical thinking skills sharp, and to never stop learning. We'll see you next time.
See you later.